you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a love that watches and that hears. Yesterday, I used the expression, "Is God only a mist fumed up from men's minds?" There may be somebody listening to me today who thinks that God is nothing more than a mist fumed up from men's minds. Some who are non-believers say that God is a figment of man's imagination. Well, if that were true, the most unanswerable question, seems to me, would be, where did the imagination come from then? Where did the mind come from? What was the origin of that mind that could succeed in creating a mist? And as for conceiving the notion of God, a supreme being whom we either worship or hate, that conception in itself would be an intellectual feat, wouldn't it? Well, you know I don't mess around on Gateway to Joy trying to prove that there's a God. He proves himself to me every minute. I worship and adore him. I love and I know him. But, oh, I do want to worship him more purely, adore him more faithfully, and know him better every minute. Now let's consider the fact of chronology. I told the story yesterday of how a tiny little silly word from an Indian girl might have had something to do with the decision to slay 5 American missionaries in South America back in 1956. If that were the case, if she really did have something to do with the decision, did God notice that? Could he have changed that? Could he have done something else? I insist, and of course I found my insistence on what the Bible says, that God's in charge of everything. All things serve him. Let's consider the fact of chronology. God's timing is so amazing and so wonderful when you think of the details of your life and the ways in which God's timing changed the whole course of your life from time to time. One of the stories that I love the most in the Old Testament is the life of Samuel. I've always loved that picture of this little boy serving in the temple and hearing the voice of God, thinking that it was the voice of Eli, and twice going to Eli and saying, "You called me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." And finally, Eli realized that it was the Lord's voice calling. And so the next time he called, the little boy said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I've been talking about a love that watches and that loves us and that waits. I see God everywhere or nowhere. He is either a love that watches and that hears, or he is only a mist fumed up in men's minds. The boy Samuel, of course, became a great prophet. And chapter 9 of the book of 1 Samuel has this amazing story of chronology, the number of times in which timing determines what happens next. Is astonishing. The Bible says that the asses of Kish were lost. Now, Kish was Saul's father. And so Kish sent Saul to find those lost donkeys. Well, he went much further than seemed reasonable in looking for them. So far that his servant said, "Your father is going to start worrying about you." Now, of course, if the donkeys hadn't gotten that far, Saul wouldn't have had to go that far. So the servant, the Bible says, happened to know of a man of God in that town. So he said, "Let's go and ask him if he knows anything about those donkeys." And Saul's objection was, "But we don't have a gift to offer. You can't go to a man of God, presumably meaning a prophet, and ask him a question without giving him a gift. But guess what? The servant happened to have a quarter. Well, yes, it wasn't a quarter of a dollar, but it was a quarter of a shekel. And they happened to meet some girls going for water. Look at the timing. Those girls just happened to be going for water, and Saul and his servant just happened to come along just at that very moment. And they asked these girls, "Is the seer," which is what they used to call a prophet, "here?" And the girls said, "Yes, he just came today for a sacrifice." God's timing again. "He won't have gone up yet. You'll be able to find him," they said. So they meet Samuel as they were entering the town. Perfect timing. Samuel had gone up for a sacrifice. That was a special feast day, and so God's overall timing of the whole year and of the special feast days goes into that as well, doesn't it? And they meet Samuel as they're entering the town. And the very day before this happened, God had told Samuel that he was sending a man whom he should anoint as king. When Samuel saw Saul, God said to him, "This is the man." And Samuel said, "I'm the seer. You are to eat with me today, and tomorrow I'll tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys, they have been found." Saul and his servant hadn't even gotten around to asking for the donkeys. They were so astonished at Samuel's words. "I'm the seer. You're to eat with me today, and tomorrow I'll tell you all that is in your heart." My goodness, how would you feel if somebody told you that he could tell you all that is in your heart? "And as for those donkeys, they have been found." And the next morning, Saul was anointed king by Samuel. Look at the timing. The donkeys got lost. Was God in charge of that? Yes. The donkeys had gone much farther than seemed reasonable to look for them in the length of time that they'd been gone. If they hadn't gotten that far, they wouldn't have met this Samuel. They wouldn't have met the servant who happened to know of a man of God in that town. And of course, the servant directed them to where he might be found. It happened to be a feast day. The girls who were going for water happened to come along at that very moment. And none of this just happened all by itself. We see Almighty, Sovereign, Infinite God in control of the universe and in control of the minutes and the hours. Does God stand by and wait to see what will just happen and then fit his will into things as they come to pass? I don't think that's a tenable position. God is always in charge of everything. God had arranged all the details so that Samuel would anoint Saul to be the king. Chapter 10 goes on with more amazing timing. Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son?'" Imagine his knowing that there would be two men who would meet them near Rachel's tomb. "Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there's a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Now, you might dismiss that whole story by saying, yes, but that was a very special occasion because those men were prophets and God was in the business of anointing a king. And that's true, of course. But do we know that he doesn't have the same care for the most humble individual anywhere in the world? I don't believe God plays favorites. Of course, he arranges great things for great events, but he's also in charge of the tiny things, for the seemingly insignificant events. But all of it is a part of his tapestry, and all of it fits in to a pattern for good to them that love God. You know that that verse comes from Romans 8:28. I quote it many times, but it does shape my vision of God's world. Look for God's timing in your own life. Be encouraged to believe that he is in charge.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.